Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. The U.S.-China Heartland Association recently held an agricultural trade roundtable with officials from the U.S. and China. Polly Ruland, CEO of the United Soybean Board, took part in the discussions aimed at improving the relationship between both countries. She says a better working relationship between the world's two largest economies will benefit the world economy as well.
To expand protein trade and lift up the nutrition and well-being of peoples and nations around the world, the U.S. and China must prioritize understanding each other and shared values, which include free and open trade, quality, and sustainability. As both countries work toward meeting purchase requirements outlined in the U.S.-China Phase 1 trade agreement, market access is mission critical.
A better relationship will lead to fewer trade barriers, something that benefits both countries financially.
Cultural understanding can prevent trade barriers and reduce tariffs. U.S. agriculture, and particularly an important high-quality and sustainable soybean crop, offer reliability, consistency, and quality to China. China's growing interest in sustainability widens an opportunity for the U.S. to supply this important market with sustainable and high-quality soybean protein.
Ruland says the two countries are benefiting from a trade relationship that began four decades ago. American farmers have China to thank for the high-quality soybean genetics in the U.S.
All soybean genetics originated in China, so all of our farmers in the U.S. have China to thank for our high-quality products. Today, China represents 60% of world trade on soybeans and about 65% of U.S. soybean exports. In short, China is an extremely important market for U.S. soybean farmers. We see global demand for protein continuing to rise significantly, despite past and current system shocks related to animal disease. Through pork and soybean trade with the U.S., U.S. agriculture and U.S. soybean farmers are important to China's economic recovery post-African swine flu and both of our long-term growth and development.
She says the U.S. produces more soybeans than it can consume, while China can't grow enough to meet its domestic demand. That means the two countries need each other, and improving the relationship between the countries is the right place to start.
Even as advancements integrate into Chinese systems of production, there is still a large gap, and China still needs soybeans. In the past 30 years, the gap has grown in percentage and absolute terms. The U.S. now produces over 50 bushels an acre, and that is the beauty and the necessity of international trade, the abilities for countries with more to share, serve, and export to markets that need our food.
Again, Polly Ruland is the CEO of the United Soybean Board. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack recently discussed his top trade priorities now that he and U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai have been confirmed to their respective positions. During a virtual press conference with members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, Secretary Vilsack said the main focus will be on trade relations with Mexico and Canada, as well as strengthening existing trade agreements with China and Japan.
Implementation of USMCA, expansion of the Japanese trade agreement to eliminate the disadvantage we currently find our beef producers under by virtue of the fact that we've sold a lot of beef to Japan early in the year. We're now faced with a tariff that puts us in a disadvantage in that market based on the current trade agreement. Maintaining some relationship with China so that the Chinese purchases continue at pace and pick up so that they are consistent with the phase one responsibility. Looking for opportunities to expand new relationships in the United Kingdom and in Southeast Asia and potentially in Africa.
Vilsack adds it will be important for the U.S. to have an in-person presence in these markets in order to have sustainable success.
We need to understand that the secret sauce of trade, in my view, is making sure that we have enough people in these markets, giving us the insights necessary for us to understand precisely what those markets need and want from us, and that we basically respond specifically to that. We have enough partnerships with folks and entities in country so that we not only have ourselves being promoters, but more importantly, we have people from that country, from that region promoting U.S. agriculture, and more promotions, more opportunities for us to showcase.
Vilsack noted USDA currently has a solid sustainability message and they want to have a great one into the future. With the Farm Workforce Modernization Act moving on to the Senate, many in the ag community are hopeful the legislation will be approved and move on to President Biden's desk for his signature. Claudia Larson, Senior Director of Government Relations at the National Milk Producers Federation, says thanks to the pandemic, agriculture is facing different circumstances than when the immigration reform bill was first introduced in 2019.
We have seen COVID actually exacerbate the labor crisis that agriculture was already facing. We are seeing fewer domestic workers available to be referred to our farms. So actually, the labor crisis has been intensified under the COVID reality that all of us have been trying to navigate through.
Larson adds there is also a more broad and bipartisan appetite for immigration reform in the current climate.
We have the urgency and the need for ag labor reform now more than ever because of the COVID reality that we are all, again, trying to operate through right now. And we have this potential for a bipartisan ag labor reform bill to move through the House, make it over to the Senate, and really seize this window of opportunity.
Supporters of the legislation are more confident the Senate will take up the legislation this go-round. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says the organization objects to a proposal by several lawmakers to tax unrealized capital gains at death and roll back the stepped-up basis on those capital gains. Duval says, quote, taxing capital gains when a loved one passes away would have a devastating impact on farm and ranch families. Even more so, Duval says, if the stepped-up basis tool is taken out of the toolbox, it will be an adverse effect. Stepped-up basis encourages families to grow their businesses and pass them on to another generation, and elimination could force those families to sell their farms just to pay the taxes. The value of many farms is tied up in land and equipment. AFBF says cash flow on most farms is much too small to pay large capital gains taxes. Farm Bureau says these taxes would cause further consolidation in agriculture, with small farms more likely to be forced out of business by the tax liability. Leaders of the Produce Marketing Association and United Fresh Produce Association have reached an agreement to create a new global trade association. The agreement will combine the two groups. The two associations will continue to operate as independent organizations through 2021, with a new association to be launched January 1st of 2022. A United Fresh spokesperson says, "This agreement reflects the ongoing commitment of both associations to deliver the highest level of value to members." Over the past several months, PMA CEO Kathy Burns and United Fresh CEO Tom Stenzel have worked with a group of board leaders from each association to develop the strategic commitments for the new association. The new association will be led jointly by Burns and Stenzel as co-CEOs throughout 2022. After that time, Burns will become the sole CEO. Over the coming months, Burns and Stenzel will work with their staff teams and board leaders to build out the new organization. And this has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.